Well, good morning. It is great to be here with you guys this morning. And some of you may know me. I see faces I don't know, so I'm going to go ahead and say maybe you don't know me. So I'm going to let you know that my name is Jamie George, and I have a wife named Joy and two boys named Breeson and Egan, and we have another baby on the way. We're celebrating. Good news. My wife did not know I was going to do this today, but she's already heard it, so we're good now. But they brought me here to St. Andrews to help plant churches and make disciples in this area. And we're currently, I'm getting my plug in right now, planting a church in North Little Rock. God has brought me here to help come alongside some great people of God who wants to see a church in their neighborhood and wants to see their neighbors know Christ and follow Him. So, if you feel called to that, please speak to me afterwards. I'd love to talk with you. But I really appreciate this opportunity Robert has given me to stand here and proclaim the Word of God. As I shared earlier today, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted me standing up here sharing this Word because the things I would have said about Jesus and God didn't really align with what we're saying this morning. But in the midst of my brokenness and my pain and me living as a fallen person. I was horrible. I was wicked. I was evil. But God stepped right in there in 2004 and says, you know what? I love you and I died for you. And I responded to that. I said, God, if it's true, I want your salvation. It comes through Jesus. And I responded, and like most new believers, I was that guy, everybody talks about, like, he won't shut up. He just is always talking about Jesus and what God's done. And I couldn't stop. And I didn't realize it till later on that it was what God was doing in me. It was God working in me and making it possible for me to be His witness in the world. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The promise of Christ in me makes me a witness. The promise of Christ in you makes you a witness. The reading from Isaiah this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see in God's Word throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's true. When the Spirit of God comes, He comes to help us be His witnesses of His truth. And that was in the Gospel reading this morning. It affirms this truth as well, but so you can really understand where I'm coming from, because if you just start right here with the Gospel readings, you'll miss it. But if we go and we look at another Gospel, the Gospel of Luke, we can better understand why John the Baptist is out here in the middle of the desert doing what he's doing. In Luke chapter 1, he tells us this. He tells us that John the Baptist had parents whose names was Zechariah and Elizabeth. And if you read in chapter 1 of Luke, you'll also discover that John the Baptist's parents, they're priests. They're Levites. They're from the line. Well, Elizabeth's not a priest, but Zechariah is, but they're from the line. Both of them are from the line of Aaron. So we heard about Levites and priests this morning, but it also says in the Scripture, and some of us will miss this, it says they were righteous before God. What he means there when he says they're righteous before God, they are some of the very few Israelites that have a true faith in the living God and are righteous before Him. Now, they were praying for a child in their old age, and God answers their prayer, and He sends an angel to tell them this, and I pray you would listen and hear what is said here. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. I don't know if you ever put that together, but John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. John the Baptist is raised by priests, people of God, people who are the people of God. And with that in mind, now let us turn our gaze and look at this morning's gospel reading, because now we can look at it with our eyes wide open. In verse 6 of chapter 1 of John, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." If you're like me, many of you read over this and say, okay, sent from God. But there's something here that you miss in the translation, and this is true. Sometimes our translators do a great job of translating the Bible, but sometimes they just don't really get the emphasis that the writer was putting on it initially. And what he means here with the word from, he's saying from alongside. He's really close to God. He's coming out, and he's coming from God. He's close to God, like Zechariah, like Elizabeth. This man was close to God. He had a right relationship with God. He was a righteous man. And I hope this encourages you parents this morning. As you continue to raise your children, believe this is possible, that they too can become righteous men and women. In verse 7, he goes on to say, "He came as a witness to bear witness," and 8 here, "the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but to bear witness about the light." Anytime you see a word, this is what my seminary and Bible college teachers taught me, so I don't take any credit for this. But when you see a word mentioned 3 or 4 times in a row in that short of a span of sentences or passages, do a word study. And it's beneficial every time. As I studied this word, one of the theologians helped me see that John's gospel and all his writings, all his New Testament books, are filled with this word witness and testimony. And it's amazing, because John utilized this word uniquely. No other New Testament author, aside from Luke, he does use it this way sometimes. But what he's saying is John wasn't just a witness of something he had saw. John didn't see two camels running at each other and tell you the story about it. What John is doing is, by the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of him, this man is able to testify. And this testimony is from God. That's important for us to remember, because his testimony didn't originate with John. Like I said, the Holy Spirit resided in him from the womb. The testimony comes from God. He didn't do it for naught. He did it for a reason. And we're told right here that he came to bear witness about the light. He came to bear witness about the light so that what? All might believe. This is a way that God is calling his people. This aligns perfectly with the story of Scripture. God is constantly calling us to reach all people with the gospel. And this is what God's heart is. This is why Jesus was sent forth as the light of the world, to reveal that we all need salvation that comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you jump down to verse 19 with me, it says, "And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" Now, this right here, it can be easy to walk by this. You do it all the time when you're doing your newspaper reading of the Bible in the morning. I do this sometimes, so I'm guilty as well. But when you do that, you miss something. Because what we're seeing here is this man who was a Levite, who was a priest of God, he's got Levites and priests who has religious authority from Jerusalem to come out and check out what's going on with him. But they didn't just jump in a car and go 5 minutes down the road. This was more like a 5 to 7 hour journey for them, depending on whether they walk or rode horses or whatever. So this is quite a significant journey to them to go out here and to say, "Hey, look, you know, we're the Levites and the priests from the temple, and we need to come out here and verify." And it was an important thing. I don't think they were really upset with John. They just kind of had heard about this, and they were curious. So they go out there to check it out. Now I want to ask you guys a serious question, and just be honest with yourself. Now, if you heard a guy is down here at the Arkansas River, and he's 50 miles outside of town, and he's doing the same thing, except he's wearing deer skin with his leather belt, and he's eating some bugs with honey on it, are you going to go out and visit this man? You hear he's baptizing. Honestly, we'd think he's crazy, wouldn't we? We wouldn't even believe, no, there's nobody doing that. But then if you're curious enough, you might go out there and check it out. And this is kind of what's happening with the Levites. We always like to label these guys as bad guys, but some of them were just really curious, I believe. They really wanted to know, is this from God? Is this what God's doing? And we see that in the questions that follow. It says that he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Now, if you look at this, what you can see here is John knew who he was. John knew his identity. When they asked him, are you the Christ? He's like, no, I know I'm not that. I know I'm not Elijah. I know I'm not the prophet. So John knew his identity in it, and he knew himself well. I know for a fact this is a struggle in the church. We who are followers of Jesus Christ continually struggle with our identity. Who are we? Because a lot of us like to look over and see Billy Graham and say, man, I wish I could be like Billy Graham or Tim Keller or David Platt. And those are great guys, and maybe you want to be like Robert. Hopefully you don't want to be like me. But the point is here is that we often look at people to find our identity, but God's had put in John's heart, your identity is found in me. And that's where God wants us to find our identity so that we can be his people. I want you to know today, hear this. You are created in the image of God. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Therefore, the only acceptable person you're to strive to be like is Christ. The only person we're called to look like is Christ. And when we do that, we reflect Christ into the world. And that's our witness. That's how Christ works in us. And one way to do that is to study your Bible. Read this thing. It's full of great stories about men eating locusts and honey. It's great. But then here, John goes on and tells us about John the Baptist. He says, so they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Now, like I said, he knew his identity. Not only did John know who he wasn't, John knew who he was. John knew who he was. Listen to what John said. I know who I am. This is who I am. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John knew the Holy Spirit had affirmed in him, you are fulfilling prophecy right now, John. You are my servant. You're the one who's called to be the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. In verse 24 and 25, John tells us this. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? These religious leaders they're a lot like us. We look at someone, they're not dressed the way we think someone should be dressed, it's doing what they're doing, or they don't look the part. They're not doing it where God would have them do it. And I urge you and I encourage you, please don't be so quick to judge other people's ministry and what God's called them to. For you don't know if it truly is from God or not until you spend some time doing what these Levites and priests do. And you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to make sure that it's either good or bad. So take the time to do that and verify first before we make our assumptions. In verse 26 and 27, it says, John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Now here, John could have done what a lot of us can do sometimes. When someone questions our ministry or who we are and what we're doing, we can get all, well, I'm this and that, and this is my authority. But we could learn something really good from John this morning. John doesn't do that. John doesn't get in an argument with them about where his authority comes from or why he's out there. All John simply does is fulfills his purpose. And that's all we're called to do. Did you hear what he said? He says, I came to testify. I came to be a witness, to point you to the light. That's why I'm here. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not worried to touch this person who's coming's feet. But I want you to know he's coming. He's coming. That's why I'm here, to tell you that he is coming. And it's Jesus. Jesus is coming. He was coming into the world. He had already come, but hadn't been revealed yet. And lastly, John, in his gospel, tells us this. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. As I said, it was about a 15-mile journey outside of town. As I said earlier, though, here's the main point I hope you get today. The promise of Christ in me makes me a witness. The promise of Christ in you makes you a witness. It's verified in this gospel, but not just in these readings right here. You can read the whole Old Testament. You can see it throughout, like I said earlier, and into the New Testament, that God has made his people to be his witnesses in the world. Where does it say that, Jamie? Well, I'm glad you asked. It says it in Matthew 28. It tells us that the 11 disciples, the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to write disciples and not apostles, or we would have given it to the leaders of the church. But no, it was not intended for it to be only the leaders of the church that are going and making disciples of all nations. No, it was for us today. We are disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations. And he didn't just send us out there just like John. We see John doing this ministry, and if we read it outside of context, it looks like he was doing it in his own strength and power. But what you discover is it's not true. What the truth is he's empowered just like God has empowered us who have received Jesus Christ by faith to be his people, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit forever as he is. Not only are we sealed forever, but we're empowered, as Acts would make very clear. When the Spirit came, witness happened. Everything that happens in Acts isn't because they just wanted you to see many signs and wonders. It's because it wanted you to witness. The Spirit witnesses to Christ coming into the world. The Spirit witnesses that God has redeemed us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and empowered us to go out and proclaim his gospel. What are the things that continually get in the way of us, me included, of not being witnesses in the world? The number one thing is we quench the Spirit. And why do we quench the Spirit often? The number one reason we quench the Spirit is because we're afraid. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are scared to death to share the gospel with somebody because they're going to think we're crazy. We're going to look like John. We're going to be out in the wilderness and people are going to look at us funny. I'm like, God, look at them. Look how they're living. Look at what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what we're afraid of. But I want to encourage you this morning by saying, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, hear me when I say this. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. That's what your God has given you. And the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, will be your motivation. Your love for God is going to motivate you. It says perfect love will cast out that fear that you have. So your loving relationship with God the Father can cast that aside. This is not a problem that we have as far as making disciples of all nations. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to partner with God in the work he's doing in the world by the power of the Spirit working in and through us. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, I've been there. As I said earlier, I even sat in seats like this and heard the gospel presented many, many times. And a lot of times I'd get really scared, and I think that was a bad thing. But I want to encourage you, it's a good thing. Because during this Advent season, not only do we celebrate Christ's first coming into the world that we might be saved, we hear that Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. If that makes you a little bit afraid, let me encourage you to go with it. The Scriptures tell us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you pursue wisdom to its end, it leads you to Christ. It leads you to God and the God who loves you. And He says to you, I do not wish for any to perish, but all to repent and come to saving faith in my Son Jesus. Now you who are followers of Jesus this Advent season, we are to be encouraged by this message that God, Christ, the promise of Christ coming, the price of Christ coming in me and in you, makes us His witnesses. So as you go forth out in the world, remember that. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Remember that. It's by His Spirit.